Your Financial Choices may discuss various financial-related topics and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA. We inform you that any federal tax, state tax, financial advice, or information contained in this communication is not intended to be personalized or specific in nature or to be relied upon for your personal situation in any circumstance. The advice and information are not intended and cannot be used as a tax opinion letter nor used for the purpose of avoiding tax-related penalties. For personalized advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I am a CPA, CFP professional, and AEP on the web at yourfinancialchoices.com. You can listen online each and every week at wdiy.org under Public Affairs and also on the WDIY app and many streaming services. Today is September 3rd, 2025. The markets were mixed today with the Dow closing flat at 45,271, the NASDAQ up at 21,497, and the S&P up at 6,448. Tonight, in honor of Labor Day that we just had this past Monday, I thought I would talk about the benefits of working, beyond just the obvious, of course. We are live tonight. We will take your questions. Cindy and Bob are in the studio with us this evening. We'll answer your calls, take your information, and we ask you to mute your radio so you can hear me without the delay and we can talk without confusion. We discuss general financial planning topics and not specific investments. And while I typically have a question or a topic each week, you can still ask questions off topic. I'll do my best to answer them. The number is 610-758-8810, 610-758-8810. You can talk live on air with me, or if you're not comfortable talking live, just give your question to Cindy and they'll write it down and bring it into the studio. You can also submit questions through yourfinancialchoices.com. So the benefits of working, so labor, talking about, you know, various aspects of working, jobs, labor that we need to be aware of. So we're going to talk about some of the benefits you might receive when you work. The most obvious and first one we think of is the pay itself. Pay can come in many forms, and so we'll talk about that. Other benefits we call like fringe benefits, retirement account access, matching, health insurance, social security, maybe disability, life insurance, that type of thing. We'll talk about some of these aspects that you need to pay attention to and how it can make a difference in reaching your goals and paying attention to what those benefits might be as well. To start off, I just want to mention what people, you know, may or may not realize. I recall when I first came to Pennsylvania from Michigan, a term I've worked since I was 12, and a term I had not heard of before, and I didn't go back and research the history on this, but the term at will. So you get hired and you're at will. And I thought, what does that mean? Well, all but 50 states follow this. And what it means is both the employer and the employee have the right to terminate without notice. So quite often when we go to a job, we get hired, we think, oh, it's nice to give like 2 weeks notice before you leave a job. Or an employer may give you 2 weeks notice before they might terminate you, but they don't. I don't think they have to. So it's at will, and they can do it without cause. And all but one of 50 states follows this at will. I might have misspoken. So all but one of 50 states follow this, and the one state that doesn't is Montana. And Montana simply has like a 12-month window requiring the termination has to be with cause. There are some, notes around that, though, that there are still some certain protections against termination without cause. If, for example, if an employee refuses to do an illegal act and then they fire you, then you might have some, you know, actions you could take against that employer. Or if you're fired because of discrimination, you know, there are some protections around some of this. But for the most part, you are hired at will, you could be let go, and you can also leave without notice. So just want to mention that in case we hadn't heard that term or we don't use that term, we don't think about that term, but you need to be aware of it. The reason I wanted to bring it up is because as a financial advisor, when I meet with clients, I'm always asking, what are your bank balances? What are you, how much cash do you have? And, you know, sometimes I think they think I'm trying to grab more money, and it's not that at all. It's that we want to make sure that you have emergency reserves. Regular listeners know we talk about this, regularly, that it's very important to have emergency reserves. And typically we talk about like 6 to 12 months. I know when I first started, you know, kind of in this industry forever ago, we used to say like 3 to 6 months. And now I really feel much more comfortable when I'm working with clients and talking to clients about having like a 6 to 12 month reserve. And this is one of those reasons, because if we are employees at will, despite what a great job we might be doing, businesses may have, you know, go a different direction. We don't always know the nuts and bolts of how the business is running, and they may have to downsize for various reasons. We are seeing this, you know, the AI impact on jobs, and a lot of artificial intelligence may be taking over some of those jobs. Other jobs will be created at the same time, though. We have to remember, we thought computers were going to, you know, take over, and that was a long time ago, and instead it created, you know, many, many more jobs. And the same thing may happen with artificial intelligence, but some of us may be more prone to be impacted by that than others. So it's always a good idea to have your, you know, I like 6 to 12 months of reserves. So just understand that's one of the reasons why we want to kind of understand how the work, you know, labor works. So that's at will. Let's have our emergency reserve. Okay, so now let's talk about some benefits. I've also mentioned this on prior shows too, about before taking a job, make sure that you understand the benefits that are offered to you for your various options, because it could make a real difference in your total or overall compensation. It's not always just about the pay, which again, I'm going to talk about in a little bit, the pay being there could be various forms of pay, but it's about understanding what kind of benefits are being offered. And going back to, you know, the artificial intelligence element of all of this, it may impact jobs, but it also could help you find a job. So let's keep that in mind as well. So you can use any of these various, you know, artificial intelligent, you know, what do I want to say, apps that could help you. You know, you could type in, help me with my resume, help me find jobs. There are certain apps out there that can even help you write your resume and then even do the job applications or find the job applications for you. You can do research on the companies that you're looking at. I think this is all really important. It could be very helpful in a job search and in comparing jobs. I've said, you know, to people in the past, get an Excel spreadsheet, make columns for each of the jobs you're applying for, look at all of these benefits and, you know, put dollars to them to see the bottom line of how much that, you know, job, pay, and fringe benefits are benefiting you. And I imagine now you probably could, you know, ask any of these, I could say something like ChatGPT or Copilot or any of these artificial intelligent engines to put that in a chart for you. And that would be helpful to compare. And let me just kind of give you an idea at the top of the hour here of the types of benefits that I would be comparing. Number one, the pay. The pay is, you know, we're going to talk about overtime or salary, or, you know, are there going to be cash bonuses? Are there commissions? Are there stock bonuses? What kind of compensation? What's the compensation package? Then what is the vacation or sick time package? What does that look like? What about retirement accounts? Or does the company offer a retirement plan? Do they put money in it? How much do they put in it? Do they have offer high deductible health plans? Do they offer health savings accounts? Do they put money in it? What are they matching for that as well? You know, daycare, disability, short-term disability, long-term disability, life insurance, how much are they paying for health insurance? So you want to kind of put all of this into an Excel spreadsheet and, you know, compare. Folks, we are at our first break. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in just a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
WDIY has been broadcasting since 1995.
This is Mayor Ken Smith. Congratulations to WDIY for signing on the air.
We're with Commissioner Frank Donches of the Bethlehem Police Department.
We welcome Dr. John on the blend today.
Bob Durow composed, conducted, and played much of the Schoolhouse Rock music.
Three is a magic number.
Weapons, antidote to violence is to speak up against it.
WDIY for 30 years.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. We're talking about labor tonight, jobs, benefits of working. If you have questions, phone number is 610-758-8810. You can talk live on air with me or just give your question to Cindy and they'll write it down and bring it in. So first in any kind of, you know, job seeking venture, make sure you're comparing apples to apples. Some of the items I mentioned before the break are, you know, you can kind of put dollars to them, but don't forget to put some of the other soft benefits. For example, do they allow remote work or do you have to go into an office? That can make a big difference for people. There are people who love to work remotely. You're not having to get on that highway. You're not having to put gas in the car to do that long commute, perhaps. But there are people who really love going into the office and love interacting with people and love that, you know, camaraderie, et cetera. So you'd want to put that in. That's kind of like a soft benefit one way or the other. I know I love remote work. I feel like I work, you know, very, very well when I'm, you know, alone in my office with all the windows closed and, you know, head down. So, you know, see if that makes a difference. So the commuting, or might there be required travel? Maybe you're someone who doesn't like planes and the job you're going for is actually going to require you to travel all over the country or all over the world. That's not something you like. You certainly have to, you know, put that in the decision making, as well as, or if you love traveling and perhaps the job requires travel and you can build up a bunch of points, travel points, and, you know, fly on, go anywhere you want on your personal time, you know, having collected all of that, those travel points because of work. All right. So some soft benefits as well. Maybe the potential for promotion. You want to look at that to see, do I have opportunities here? If you're interested in that, some people, you know, are happy just to do their 9-to-5, go home and not have to think or be stressed out about advancing. But other people, it's a real driver for them. So is there room for promotion? That could be really important. It could also be really important for your long-term goals. If you are starting off in your career and, you know, you say to yourself, hey, my parents worked themselves to death to age 70. I don't want to do that. I want to retire young. You know, the more potential and opportunities you see early on, it's going to have a kind of a compounding effect, hopefully. And, you know, you might be someone who could, you know, earn early, save early, and retire early. So now let's talk about some of the different types of pay that we might get and kind of understanding the differences. And it might sound simple, but sometimes you're going to find that you have these opportunities available to you and you don't understand them. And that's why I thought, you know, we should talk about it. I don't like making an assumption that everyone would know these things. So I think it's really important just to kind of talk about it. Some listeners might, you know, totally understand this, but new listeners or young listeners might need more information and then to have aha moments. So typically when we get hired in a job, we're either told there's like an hourly pay or there is like a salary. And there's exempt employees and non-exempt employees. And frankly, I didn't think about like differentiating between those two, but there are certain employees that do not get overtime pay and certain employees are eligible for overtime pay. So you'd want to find out if your position is going to allow for overtime pay. If you are hourly and you end up, you know, working extra hours, are you going to be entitled to overtime pay? Typically, when we think of salary, there's really not overtime pay in my mind when we think salary. It's different than an hourly employee. Salary could be, you know, maybe you worked 38 hours this week because you had to run, you know, mom to the doctor, and next week you work 45 hours. You know, there were many weeks in my life, in my jobs, in my previous positions where I was working 70 hours a week, sometimes 80 hours a week, and I was salary. Probably if you did it on an hourly basis, it would have been less. I was making less than the hourly employees. But, you know, at the same time, that built up my profession. It built up my career and, you know, led to better job opportunities in the future. So sometimes even though you're salary and you're not getting that overtime pay and you feel like you're working yourself, you know, to the bone, it may provide other benefits eventually. So you have to kind of balance that. I'm not recommending that people work 70 or 80 hours a week on a salary, but perhaps you get bonuses as well. So hourly rates, salary. With overtime now, with the new tax legislation, you may be exempt from paying federal taxes on some of that overtime pay. I haven't like dug into that completely, but there are income limitations on that. And I'm going to try to talk about some of that perhaps next week. So overtime pay could have some advantages there. You may be eligible for bonuses. What you have to keep in mind for bonuses is sometimes when the bonuses are paid, they withhold tax differently than they do on someone's regular pay. Quite often people will come to me when we're preparing tax returns and they'll say, well, I don't understand why I owe so much in taxes. My employer withheld from me. My employer withheld. And they think the employer understands their complete tax situation and knows exactly how much tax to withhold. And that's not, you know, that's not how it works. They don't know that perhaps you have a spouse who's making just as much money as you or more money than you. And they're simply looking at employer withholding tables. We used to call that Circular E. And it was actually like a big, huge paper publication. And you would look if someone's a weekly employee, a weekly paid, biweekly, monthly, depending on the pay status of the employee and the marital status and how many exemptions they were claiming, that's how they would determine the withholdings. Bonuses are typically like a flat 20%. There's some exceptions to that, I believe, but typically like a flat 20%. So if you're in a really high tax bracket, the withholdings on a bonus might skew the withholdings in general. If you and your spouse are both earning, that could also skew the withholdings the wrong way. So you want to be aware of how you're getting paid. Are you getting bonuses? How does that factor into the compensation? Now, some compensation may also come in the form of stock. So there's stock bonuses. And back in the day, you know, years and years ago, when I, you know, started off in this field, we would see people getting something called incentive stock options, ISOs, and non-qualified stock options. So people could, big companies might offer their employees a stock option as a bonus. And what it might be is an option to buy this stock in X number of years at today's price. So if today's price was 10 bucks and in 3 years it's 15, the stock option would allow you to buy it at $10, even though the value is 15. We call that in the money. There are times when the stock price would be less than the grant price, and then that's like out of the money, and then that's worth nothing to you. But sometimes that would be a nice incentive. And I've seen a lot of people who've gained quite a bit of wealth from receiving those kinds of stock options. We don't really see as many of those anymore. We do see something called restricted stock units or restricted stock awards. So I'll talk about those when we come back from this next break. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in just a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
WDIY presents Lehigh Valley Hollywood Squares, a live game show experience like no other. Join your favorite local celebrities for a night of laughs, trivia, and high-energy fun, all to support the station you love. Tickets are on sale now. Don't miss this nostalgic interactive event that's perfect for all ages. Mark your calendar for October 28, 6 p.m. at the State Theater in Easton, and help keep public radio strong. For details and tickets, visit WDIY.org.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. If you'd like to talk with us on air, the phone number is 610-758-8810. Or if you don't want to talk on air, just give your question to Cindy and she'll write it down and Bob will bring it in. So 610-758-8810. We're talking about labor tonight, benefits, jobs, working, and kind of understanding some of the fringe benefits, but we're starting with the basic pay so that people understand the implications of what they're getting and also to understand the potential of when you go to take a job, what that potential compensation may be for you. So we talked about cash bonuses, but then there's also something called a stock bonus, and it could be like a stock option, or it could be a restricted stock unit. Let me just point something out. When you get these, even when you exercise the option, so if I get a stock option for $10 that I can buy in 3 years, there's like a vesting schedule over time. I can, you know, you have to wait. The incentive is they want you to keep working at the company. That's why they do it. And to encourage everyone to kind of like invest in the company and do a great job, and the company does well, it does profit, gets profitable, stock price goes up, and you get the benefit of buying it at a cheaper price. But the difference between that cheaper price and the fair market value on the day you exercise that actually ends up being compensation in your W-2. You may not realize that. So remember my story. I said we bought it at 10, it's worth 15. I only had to pay 10 bucks for it. That extra $5 ends up kind of in my taxable income to me. There still is a benefit to you for that. It's just really the tax cost you have on that difference. So you end up having a cost basis of $15 because you paid 10, then they put 5 in your pay as, you know, that's kind of the bonus you got. And so the cost basis is $15 for those shares. And typically they're going to allow you to either take the shares in kind, which means you have to pony up the money for the $10, or you can do something called a cashless exercise where you could, or cover the cost with selling some of the shares. So they might have granted you 100 shares and maybe you only exercise, you know, 70 to pay for the shares you're going to keep. Because you have to pay the tax and that kind of thing, or the cashless exercise where you just take the cash, so you sell the shares. All right, those would still get reported on a 1099 as a sale, and some people may not realize, if you're not paying attention, that the cost basis that they may report on that tax document might be the $10, not the 15, because the rest of the money is in your wages. Now, generally, the custodians are usually, there's a chosen custodian that works with the corporate sponsor of this program, and they will generally give you supplemental information in that tax document that shows that here's the rest of the information, dot, 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 here's the difference that should have been included in wages. Another clue is there's usually codes on the W-2 to reflect like a code V for those stock options that tell us, oh, there were stock options here that were, you know, exercised this year. So we have to go look and, you know, ask additional questions. So that's stock options. It's a little different than the RSUs, the restricted stock units. Those restricted stock units is typically what they call them, restricted stock awards. Some people just, you know, they call it, I have clients who might call it a stock option, but it's not. It's where the employer will say, hey, we're going to give you, you stay 3 years with us, and we're going to give you 100 shares of this stock. And that 100 shares today is worth, you know, $5,000, yippee-dee-doo-dah. And then in 3 years, that, what did I say, $5,000? In 3 years, maybe it's worth $8,000. And then at that time, similar to the stock options, you can elect to take the shares, which would still have tax on the value of that. That is a compensation, has to be included in your W-2. And you can do like a net share sale to cover the taxes and then take the shares. Or you can, again, just say, hey, just give me the cash. And they're going to sell the shares and they're going to give you the cash. Either way, in both those situations, the cost basis of the stock is the same as the fair market value on that day, whether it's the stock options or the RSUs. And so the what you have to be careful is an over-concentration perhaps in your company's stock. Sometimes those same employers may do a match into your 401k of employer stock. Sometimes you love the company and you've bought into the company stock. So that's just one caution when we're talking about labor and some of the compensation and benefits you may get. If you are getting stock options and you're keeping the stock, or you're getting restricted stock units and you're keeping the stock, you just want to watch out for an over-concentration, because what I've heard some clients say is they're afraid of the tax consequences on those transactions. And what they don't realize is the tax consequences happening anyway, because it's considered compensation. So it's already accounted for in your W-2. So if I sell it the same day, the cost basis is the same as the fair market value on the day I got it. The tax consequence of that compensation is already taken care of. So it's a way to get cash without really further tax consequence. So now if I hold it for, you know, another 6 months, that would be short-term gain from that point. But if you hold it longer than a year, then it's long-term gain. But you're not required to hold it in those circumstances. That is different than another kind of perk or benefit that an employer may give you if you work for a company that offers something called an employee stock purchase plan. An employee stock purchase plan is different than stock options, it's different than RSUs, and it's different than something called an employee stock ownership plan, ESOPs. I'm not going to talk about ESOPs, but it's different than that too. An employee stock purchase plan is a plan that an employer puts together. Typically, it's considered like a qualified plan, where they offer you a discount to buy shares in the company, typically after X amount of days you've been at the company, and typically it's based on a certain price when they first announce it or offer it. You have to opt into it. You would probably do it through payroll deduction, where you agree to buy X number of shares, like a percentage typically, like I might buy, you know, 5% of my pay or something like that. And you buy employee stock purchase plan, you're buying shares in the company. And typically why it's a discount is they might say at today's price or at this date in the future, the fair market value, the lower of the two. So a lower of this price today or lower if it's in the future, and they give you like a discount of 15%. So if the stock, when I award this employee stock purchase plan, might be $40, and then, you know, 3 months from now, I don't recall what the period is, it might be $50. Oh, well, it's the lower of, so now $40 at 15% discount. Oh, I get $40 at a 15% discount. Now, there's certain handcuffs on that, though, to retain that discount, and you have to hold those positions for a particular period of time, okay? So tonight, I'm not going to get into all the details of that. Just be aware that if you're looking for a job and they're talking about the various compensation, you know, whether it's overtime, salary, cash bonuses, stock bonuses, RSUs, employee stock purchase plan opportunities, you want to make sure that you're aware of all of those options that might be available to you. I also want people to understand, too, when they go and they talk about getting a job, that you make sure you're understanding whether you're getting hired as an employee or if someone's offering you a job as a contract employer. So I'll talk about that when we come back from the next break, and then I'm going to talk about some of the other fringe benefits that you should be aware of. The phone number is 610-758-8810. If you have questions, I can take live or we'll write it down and bring it into the studio. We'll be back in just a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Welcome back. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We can talk live on air with you, or if you're not comfortable talking live, just give your question to Cindy and she'll write it down. We're talking about labor, jobs, benefits, fringe benefits, what to watch out for. My comment before the break was, also make sure what you're getting hired as, whether it's an employee or a contract worker, big difference. It's also surprising from time to time when I'll say to people, are you an employee? And they'll look at me and they'll say, well, I think I'm 1099. And sometimes I don't think they even understand what that might mean. And what it means is you're getting hired as a contract worker, not as an employee, which is very, very different. So a contractor, you're now going to report that income as a self-employed, basically business owner, and you're going to be responsible for paying your own taxes, for providing your own health insurance, your own fringe benefits, your own retirement account. So when you hear contract worker, 1099, that is very different than being an employee, and the tax cost is different. As an employee, we are paying half of our Social Security and Medicare requirement, and the employer is paying the other half. As a self-employed person, you're paying both sides of that, which is 15.3%. You do get some other little deductions to offset that somewhat, but just keep in mind, very different than being an employee. So let's move on to what other some fringe benefits may be available. So we want to compare and make sure that we understand what kind of fringe benefits an employer is providing when we are comparing jobs that we are going for, as far as vacation, sick time, holidays. These could be offered separately, meaning someone might say, well, after the first year, you get 5 vacation days, or the first year, you get 5 vacation days. You might get a couple personal days. You might get, 7 sick days, maybe so many holidays. You want to understand what all those are. How do you earn them? Some employers will have employees earn them monthly. Some employers will say automatically the first year you start, you have, X amount of days. So you want to make sure that you understand that. Other employers will roll them all into one, and we call it paid time off, PTO. You'll hear this term all the time. Oh, I'm taking PTO, paid time off. And that's where an employer has rolled in sick days with vacation days. This actually has worked out really well for a lot of people. I know back in the day, at one of my jobs, we had lots of sick days. I, knock on wood, was never sick. And yet, other people around me were taking time off all the time. And I thought, wow, they're sick all the time. I was raised, you know, you only get sick on the weekends. You work. But people were taking all kinds of sick days. And I didn't realize it was because it was like use it or lose it. And people were using those days kind of as vacation days. Typically, if you maybe are off like 3 days in a row, an employer might request an excuse, a doctor's note, that type of thing. But back where I was working, this person in particular that I knew happened to be my boss would take off like every other Monday. And it was a way for her to use all those sick days that otherwise would have gone for naught. So a lot of employers now kind of roll it all into one. And so it's kind of nice to have that PTOs particular for people who maybe are never sick. And then you don't feel as guilty kind of taking those vacation days and then understand the holidays. So that could be a benefit. Make sure you understand that. And it could be different if you're part-time. So you might have a friend who works somewhere full-time and they say, oh yeah, they got a great vacation, you know, PTO, you know, benefit. Well, if you're part-time, it may not be available to you. So make sure you understand if you're going to be like a full-time employee, a three-quarter time employee, or a part-time employee, what are the fringe benefits that they offer if you're those different classes of employees? Make sure you understand that before you agree to sign on. Retirement account options. Some, you know, we expect, well, personally, I expect that most employers offer some type of retirement account option. Not all employers do. Typically, the smaller employers, it could be cost prohibitive for them to do that. And in those cases, you may have to set up your own retirement account on the side, like an individual retirement account, an IRA or a Roth IRA, because if the employer doesn't offer a retirement plan, that's your options. It's the individual accounts that you have to set up. Okay. So if your potential job employer is offering a retirement account and you have the option to look at different jobs, you could ask, hey, employer A that I'm thinking about coming to work for, what retirement plan options do you have? And I mean, and they should, you should be able to ask those questions when you're, you know, at least if they make the offer. I think sometimes you have to be careful to get too far ahead of your skis, as they say. You want to make sure that they give you an offer and then you say, well, thank you so much for the offer. I appreciate that. What is the offer? What is the package? What is the benefit package? And hopefully they're communicating that to you. But you would want to understand what retirement account options are available. So if it's a 401k, you know, typically we have the employee portion that you can put into your retirement account. But what I'm most interested in is what is the employer doing? Some employers will have what's called a safe harbor where they'll automatically put in 3% into a retirement account for you and you don't have to do anything. That's great. That's free money. Sometimes, But if you're not putting anything in, you're not going to be maybe one of those people who's going to retire early. So you want to start saving something sooner, the better. But the employer match is another option where if you put in something, they will put in something. And that employer match can look very different, meaning if they might say, if you put in 6%, we'll put in 3. If you put in, you know, 6%, we'll put in 2. If you put in 3, we'll put in 3. So you need to kind of understand what the employer match is. And that, again, is like free money. That's part of your compensation package. And you want to make sure that you factor that in when you're comparing different jobs. So the safe harbor is awesome. You don't have to put anything in. The employer match, you'd have to put something in to get that match. And you know, that's still a great benefit. There was something else I was going to say about the employer match, safe harbor. I'll have to come back to it. You also want to see what kind of investment options there might be available in that plan, and making sure you're taking advantage of that. I've seen too often where people start a job and they might sign up for the 401k. Oh, and sometimes the 401k isn't even offered until you're there like a year or you've worked X amount of hours. Some employers will say you're eligible for the 401k as soon as you start. So that's all great. That could make a difference to you. But understand, if you are putting money in and the employer is putting money in, you can tip typically direct the investments, choose the investment options. Usually they're going to give you like information about that, the 401k packet to show you what your options are for investing. And the sooner you kind of look at that, the better to get that money working for you. There are restrictions on, you know, 401k monies. You can't take it out before age 59 and a half. There's some exceptions to that. But just know that if you are going to defer money into a retirement account, you may not be able to get your hands on that right away. But it's a great way to set it and forget it and get into a good habit of saving right up front. I talked to a gentleman yesterday. He said he got great advice from his cousin when he was very young for his first job. His cousin said, put away 10% right away. You're not used to making money. You've never made money. Put away 10%. You'll never know it. You'll never miss it. And this young man is in a great, great position. I mean, he's done a great job. I told him he's like the poster child. So he's 35 now, started doing that probably at age 21. He's way ahead of the curve. So, a big recommendation when you're looking at labor and jobs and understanding all the benefits, make sure that number one, you're getting a match, you know, you're putting in, but the more you can save early, the better and more options you'll have later on. So retirement accounts. The other part you have to understand about the retirement accounts is, are you saving on a pre-tax basis? Maybe you're in a higher tax bracket today. You would benefit from saving taxes. Then you're going to want to do contributions on a pre-tax basis, perhaps. But your employer may offer an option to put money on an after-tax basis into something called a designated Roth. Roth IRA accounts or Roth designated Roths grow income tax-free, and that's because you're not getting a benefit today. You're not getting a tax-deferred benefit today. And so that money will be earmarked and grow income tax-free. Now, if you have an employer match on that, that employer match isn't included in your income. So that is going to still grow taxable for future years when you end up taking it out. But the parts you're putting in the Roth are going to be income tax-free. Now, there is some changes in the tax legislation for people, you know, highly compensated people putting in money over certain amounts. I think even the catch-up contribution, I think that starts next year, so I've got to get my arms around that. But some of these monies may automatically kind of go in Roth, or if you're doing Roth, the employer portion may come back as taxable income to you. So more on that on a future show. So employer retirement accounts, employer matches or safe harbor, understanding your investment options, pre-tax basis or designated Roth basis. An employer may do the match in stock, employer stock. If you're someone who works for one of the major corporations, we're in the Lehigh Valley, and I know that some of the big companies here do their match with employer stock. There are tax advantages to that. Be aware of that. Anybody else listening, if you work at any of the big companies that have, you know, corporate stock that they're doing their match into your 401k, you want to look at your statement to see what employer stock value you have in your 401k, and then you want to make sure you understand the cost basis. That doesn't always show up on those statements. You may have to call, you may have to ask, you may have to look, you know, dig into the statement or read the fine print of the statement. What you want to look for when you have employer stock in a 401k is the cost basis. Because if the cost basis I'll make up a story here, is $20,000 and that employer stock is now worth $100,000, there is a tax-favored benefit on that difference of $20,000 to $100,000. $80,000 of that is called NUA, net unrealized appreciation. And if at such time you decide to leave your employer and you have that 401k, don't do anything with that 401k until you understand the implications of NUA. There are special tax attributes to that. It could be very important. It could add a lot of value to your, you know, future portfolio, to your future tax situation. You just want to be very careful, understand NUA. Again, I've talked about that on a number of shows. in the past. I can talk about it in the future. The point of tonight is understanding fringe benefits and what you have available to you. And just make sure if you are someone who has employer stock in a 401k, lots of tax advantages there. Could be. If the cost basis is $20,000 and it's worth $10,000, no benefit. If the cost basis is $20,000 and it's worth, you know, $21,000, maybe not a benefit. But where I see the big benefit is people who've worked at companies for a very long time and have never diversified out of the employer stock from their 401k, there could be some really big tax advantages there for you. We are at the last break. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in just a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
DIY 88.1 offers many choices and real voices. Folk music, from folk classics to the Gaelic traditions of the British Isles, to bluegrass and old-time music of Appalachia, to the modern-day singer-songwriters telling the story of today's world. You'll find it all here on WDIY. Listen and enjoy the wide variety of folk music every weekday evening, 7 to 9 p.m., just after NPR News headlines, and Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. on 88.1 WDIY and streaming at WDIY.org.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. We are live tonight. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810, 610-758-8810. We're talking about labor, and I'm just kind of going over, trying to understand the various aspects of, you know, jobs and fringe benefits, different kinds of pay, what you have to pay attention to, retirement accounts, stock bonuses, employer stock purchase plans, cash bonuses. Be careful of multiple jobs. If you have tax withholding, you might not have enough withheld. If you have a bunch of different jobs, they might not withhold taxes enough. We've talked about vacation, sick time, holidays, PTOs, retirement account options, employer match, safe harbor, investment options, pre-tax, designated Roth, employer stock. Just be aware of all of that. I still can't remember that extra little thing I was going to say about the retirement account option. Oh, employer, I know what I was going to say about retirement accounts, 401ks. Your employer or potential employer may also offer something called profit sharing. That's what I wanted to add. So they may have an employer plan where they will say, I will match 3% or 2% or whatever it might be, or they might not do anything, but they'll tell you they also have a profit sharing plan. Well, the question I might ask is, okay, thank you for that profit sharing plan. How often do you actually fund the profit sharing? Because typically what we see in those summary plan documents for profit sharing is it could be discretionary. So even though the company is profitable, it may be discretionary whether or not they put anything in the 401k plan. So just because they have a profit sharing plan doesn't mean they put anything in it, any portion of the profit to you. So just be careful of what, you know, you hear being offered. And they may even be able to change, the matching percentages too. All right. So that's what I wanted to add about that. Other fringe benefits which could really make a difference in, you know, your kind of overall compensation package may be the kind of insurance that they provide. Now, what kind of insurance might an employer provide? And typically we're going to see this in the bigger companies, not necessarily in the small companies, just because of the administrative expense. So for when you're looking at working for a smaller company, this is an aside note for you. Sometimes I like smaller companies because sometimes you actually get a lot of exposure, a lot of responsibility. You can learn a ton at a smaller company, take it where you want quite often, get increasing responsibilities. You know, my parents were self-employed. I actually never worked at my parents' store. The other five kids did. I didn't. But I worked at a small drugstore in town, and they were self-employed, and I had tons of opportunities, and that really elevated my you know, my career as I went forward. So starting in high school, small drugstore, tons of opportunity, really built my resume, believe it or not, in high school, that then helped me in college get better and better jobs. I ended up managing a drugstore at 21 years old. I mean, just made a really big difference, launched my work ethic, et cetera. So small companies might be great for that. They just might not have those same benefits that you might need or want initially. So it could be a trade-off. You go to a big corporation, they might offer a lot more fringe benefits, but you may not have the same advancement opportunities, or you may not, you know, get the same responsibilities that you want. But you could also, you know, there could be a lot of room for promotion in a big company too. So you kind of have to weigh that. But when we look at larger companies and some of the fringe benefits they're offering, insurance is a big one. Health insurance is expensive, and you could have employers who will offer like group plans for their employees, and often they will offer more than one option so that there are people who maybe are young and healthy and they could afford, you know, a cheaper insurance because they don't anticipate having big medical expenses. And then in that same company, you might have an older generation that, you know, is going to have prescriptions and physical therapy and, you know, specialist, and it would cost more. And so the employer may offer two different types of plans to kind of meet the needs of the various needs of their employees. Now, health insurance, typically what we see is an employer may cost share in that. They may pay for part of the health insurance. I know the company where I am does pay for some of our health insurance, and it's great. I think it's like even half. And then the employee, you know, would have their portion that they pay. Some employers will offer a high deductible health plan as an option. High deductible health plan, as I mentioned, might be really good for young people who might not have very many health expenses. And the wonderful thing about a high deductible health plan is that you can also opt into something called a health savings account. And a health savings account is another way to save for future healthcare expenses, but with great tax advantages. So people who have a qualified high deductible health plan, and the employer typically will have like a health savings account option to go with that. And there's usually a few providers in the country that offer these health savings accounts. I'm not going to, you know, mention the exact names of these custodians, but you typically fund them through payroll deduction. And if you do it through payroll deduction, huge tax advantages. So if you are eligible for a health savings account, and if you have a family plan, the amount that you can put in is higher than an individual plan. If you have a family plan, the amount you can put in is $8,550 in 2025, and an extra $1,000 if you're 55 or older. And for individuals, it's $4,300 with that same $1,000 for age 55 or older. That comes out through payroll deduction, and you save federal tax, state tax, Social Security in Pennsylvania, Social Security tax, Medicare tax, local tax. I mean, it's a huge tax advantage. And then if you build up that money, I always tell clients to make sure that you have enough for the high deductible in the event you do have a medical need. You want to have the money set aside for your high deductible health plan, but the rest of the money can be invested. And it can be invested and grow income tax-free. And that can be used for future qualified medical expenses. So that could be an advantage. And quite often I've seen employers who also put money into that for their employees. So now when you're talking about compensation and looking at comparing, you know, different opportunities, you want to look, okay, 401k, do they do a match? Great. How much is that worth? Oh, HSA, oh, they put $1,000 in, or they put in $1,200 or $1,500. Oh, that's another benefit. So you start keeping track of these extra little amounts, or even like, oh, I get 10 days vacation, and this other job I get 5 days vacation. That has a value as well. So you start adding those up, and that could skew the benefit package that you would be getting, and you want to make sure that you factor that in. if they don't have a health savings account or high deductible health plan offered, but they might offer something else called a flexible spending account. Those have been around longer than the health savings account. A flexible spending account also is a payroll deduction. Some states offer, you know, a deduction for that and some not, because the flexible spending account can be either for dependent care or for health care. And the dependent care flexible spending account can be up to $5,000 for a single or married filing joint family that has dependent care for children under age 12. And it allows you to do payroll deduction for that dependent care. And you have to, you know, show that you have those expenses and submit receipts, and then you get reimbursed for the amounts that you've done through payroll. So you take it out of your paycheck, you save the taxes on it, and then you have to submit the receipts to get reimbursed for it. But it's a big tax savings. Single people, so $5,000 for single or married filing joint and $2,500 for married filing separate. And there are related child tax credits to that as well that you could still qualify perhaps, depending on how much the child care was. Typically, the child care is way more than the flexible spending account allows. The health care flexible spending account is at $3,300. And both of these are like use it or lose it. So you do have to make sure that you have those expenses. I want to point something out that you may not be aware of. Again, this goes back to fringe benefits, labor, you know, understanding what kind of benefits are available through work that you may have. And that is, often people talk about open enrollment. Oh, I have open enrollment. And it's usually like in the fall, and it's, you know, for X amount of days, and people have to choose their health care plans. They may have to choose if they're doing health, high deductible health plans, or if they're doing flexible spending accounts. Sometimes it's how much of your 401k you want to put into your, how much of your pay you want to put into your 401k. But if you have a life event, that can give you an extra enrollment. So let's pretend you didn't do flexible spending account for dependent care because you didn't have a dependent. And then, you know, you ended up having a baby and it's March of 2025. Well, no, I'll say, let's see, we're in September right now. So let's say in August you had a baby and you know you're going to have child care in October, November, December. You can notify your employer, notify your HR and say, hey, I had a life event and I'm going to have child care now. And I know that we have this flexible spending account. Can I start putting money in it? And you might want to up it, you know, and change how much you're diverting into it to maximize the benefit for 2025. And then just make sure in January you, you know, correct it and do it, you know, for like over the year kind of a thing. So life events could change your open enrollment options. And that could apply to healthcare. It could apply to these flexible spending accounts. Typically what I see for 401ks is, you know, most employers allow you to change that kind of like all the time. It used to be sometimes you could only change it once a year a long time ago, but now with technology, you know, we have employees that can change it every month if they want. You can go in and just go into the log into the custodian's website, the 401k plan provider's website, typically is given to the employees, and they can go in and change how much they're putting in through payroll. Sometimes you have to elect the catch-up contribution. So for 401ks, the amount that you can put in 2025 typically for people is $23,500, but there is a catch-up of $7,500. So sometimes you have to elect that separately, sometimes not. So be aware of that. And also for those people who don't know this, there is an additional catch-up contribution for 60 to 63 ages for 401ks, 403bs, 457s. And while most of us, it's $7,500, but if you're between ages 60 and 63 in 2025, you can actually do a little extra. You can do $11,250 instead of the $7,500. So if you weren't aware of that, you might want to go check your benefits again, go online, check to see if you want to do more. There's also disability insurance, life insurance. Disability insurance, typically we want to see you doing that on not a tax deferred method. Pay for it outright. Don't take a deduction, because that way if you do end up with disability, if you didn't take a tax deduction for it today, you didn't do it on a pre-tax basis, then that disability isn't going to be taxable to you. Whereas if you do it on a pre-tax basis, you know, you saved $20 on your pre-tax contribution to your disability policy, now it's going to be taxable. So you want to be careful of that. And life insurance, some of that's automatically given to you from a lot of employers. It's like group insurance, sometimes not. Typically, if it's worth $50,000 or less, they don't charge you for it. If it's more than that, then they impute that income to you. Folks, I hope this was helpful to our listeners. Next week, we're going to have this and that, little ways to save toward your goals. Thank you, Bob and Cindy, for being here. Thank you, Seamus, for covering tonight. Coming up next, we have Tom Druckenmiller within the tradition folk music. Remember, be proactive, not reactive. Make the best of your financial choices and have a great week.